Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest for the next half hour of the program. She always joins us on Tuesday afternoons to teach a Sunday school lesson, and today it looks like Elisha is picking up right where Elijah left off. The same kind of miraculous power. And it's I don't know if you noticed this, but if you've ever read through these accounts, Elisha goes from being kind of the doting servant to Master Elijah. And then the next thing you know, it's like he's Elijah. He's got the same kind of, what would you say, prophetic presence as Elijah does. And he continues with the same message and the same activity. And he heals a famous leper, Naaman. You've all heard the story. We're going to walk through it again here in the next half hour. You can join us with questions or comments. It's Tuesday, October the 20th, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. They have a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a wonderful day here.
It's almost as though Elijah never left when Elisha picks up. It's like it's the same person almost.
It really is. And, you know, we have that text last week in Sunday school where the stole, the mantle, the cloak was dropped down as Elijah was carried away, and Elisha picks it up and is able to part the Jordan and cross back over, and all we're able to see, this now is God's man for us, the prophet, the pastor, the one who God would work and speak through. And this week's lesson follows right in line with that, and it is miraculous. There's so much to this story. So much theology, so many connections that we can make to Christ, to baptism, to our lives. And wonderful thing to talk about today.
So what do we need to know about Naaman, this man who in some respects is quite powerful and in other respects has fallen apart?
Yeah, Naaman, we need to know that he's not an Israelite. He's a Syrian. The Syrians were not good friends with the Israelites at this point in history. Bad blood between them. And Naaman's home turf, Syria, was really a place where there were lots of attacks and lots of fights against Israel. And at this point in time, if there were to be a duel between them, probably Syria would be victorious. And he is someone who, through his good work and his faithfulness, has risen to the top of the army there, and the king recognizes him as important to his causes. And so he has become a very important man in Syria, but he has this burden, a physical burden, a skin disease. Scripture calls it leprosy. It could be any one of a number of diseases that people believe that leprosy represents in the Bible. Unsightly, bad enough that he would be considered unclean, unacceptable, but in his culture and in Syria, he is still able to rise to prominence, but he's got this awful skin burden. And he has a little Israelite girl who was kidnapped through a raid, a Syrian raid on an Israel town or village, and she is his servant. And it is through her that he finds out about this prophet, this Israeli prophet who could help him and cure him, and she points him to Elisha. And he at first, of course, you know, isn't sure, but he goes. He asks permission to go, and we get his going with great pomp and wealth that the king sends with him. They both realize if he's going to enter into Israel and ask for a favor like being healed, he's going to probably have to buy his way in. And the king values him and sends him with riches and horses and chariots, and he's quite an entourage as he comes. And he goes to see Elijah, and he gets a servant. He doesn't get Elijah. He is, and he's quite upset about that the prophet himself didn't realize what an important man he was, didn't come out and speak to him, and so he's quite upset. And then the word from Elijah is that here's what you do. You go to the Jordan River, that filthy, dirty river, and you wash yourself seven times, and that'll take care of it. Well, that just makes him all the madder. What's the Jordan River to him? It's nothing. And how could this nothing river do anything for him? So he feels rebuffed, and he feels like he's being made a fool of, and he's angry. And we can maybe relate to some of that. But it is that then he's convinced to go and to try what he was instructed to do. And indeed, his skin is cleansed from this leprosy, from this sickness. And he realizes that this was a man of God who spoke God's word and had God's power. So that's kind of the basic story.
I mean, other than simply to show that that Elisha really is not the kind of not one of the pagan prophets who makes promises he can't keep. He actually does these things. Really, the completely unexpected. No one was expected to be able to cure this kind of stuff. Other than that, what's the relevance of this story for us today?
Well, you got to look at all the pieces here, but there's so much that's relevant. First of all, you have a person who seemingly isn't deserving of any of God's grace. I mean, he's part of the people who are at war with God's children and attacking them, and yet he comes to the man of God, and it's through the man of God that he receives the instruction and the healing and the help. Just like for us, who deserve none of God's grace, none of his miracles, none of his love in our lives, because we are by nature enemies of God, he takes us in, and through the pastors, his men of God in our world, he washes us with the simple water of baptism and a little bowl on a Sunday morning with God's word, and our sins are taken off of us and put on Christ. And if not in this life, then in the life to come, our weak and frail and sickly bodies, and we all have weak and frail and sickly bodies in some form or another, those will be restored to new, whole, healthy bodies in eternity. So we have that connection. You've got the fact that this happened at the Jordan, where so many things in Scripture happen, all of these things tied to salvation, ultimately tied to water and the Word, to holy baptism. And those are just, I guess, some of the things that connect for us. And then, you know, you and I talk about this so often, the hiddenness of God and how he operates through means and through people in ways that our human expectations just don't get. We're looking for something big, as was Naaman, as was his king, and expecting a great man to come out and do some great miracle, razzle-dazzle, and the prophet doesn't even come out. He says, go wash in the Jordan, and you just wouldn't expect that's how God would do this, but he does. Just like, how can he use simple water or simple bread and wine to forgive our sins? But with the Word of God, powerful and effective.
Does it, I mean, in that connection with baptism, does this story highlight that the real operative thing, both in the healing of Naaman then and with Christian baptism today, is nothing other than the word of God? That's all Naaman really heard was Elisha's promise that
That's
he be
right.
clean.
That's right. It's just the word of God. And, you know, he didn't do anything. He didn't any hocus pocus. There wasn't any flash or fire. It was simply the word and go wash in this river. And he tells him, go and wash. And it was by a messenger. It wasn't even Elisha. He sends a messenger, and he tells him, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. And who are our pastors other than God's messengers who he sends to us? And they are perhaps not who we think God would pick. They're human men who are as human and sinful as we are, and who have weak and failing bodies and sin in their lives just like we do. But they are God's men, God's messengers, and they speak not for themselves. They speak the word of God in the stead and by the command of our Lord to us every week at the font, at the altar, the communion rail, from the pulpit, from the lectern. God's word, really a powerful thing, and that really is the message here, don't you think, in this story?
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. When we come back, we'll have another 10 minutes with her teaching a Sunday school lesson. The lesson today, of course, Naaman and Elisha. We need to talk about Jesus doing his thing with lepers, too. He does it tenfold. And then he tells them, don't say anything about this. Just go show yourselves to the priests. We'll be right back. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Keeping the message straight, getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker. Well, my personal thanks to St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, and to Pastor Ben Ball there. St. Paul is part of the Issues Etc. 300, one of that growing group of congregations that are pledging $1,000 or more to Issues Etc. in their annual budget. every year. We call them the Issues Etc. 300. You can find out how your congregation can join the Issues Etc. 300. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and there you'll find all the information you need. You can even print off a flyer there, take it to your congregation or your pastor, show it to them and say, this is what the Issues Etc. 300 is. Don't you think $1,000 is manageable? Let's put it in the budget for Issues Etc. this year and for years to come. It's the Issues Etc. 300. Issuesetc.org, click promote, and make sure you download that flyer. Pam, I can't help but think of two New Testament incidents, both of them in the Gospel of Luke, but the first one later in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 17, where Jesus encounters not one but 10 lepers. Tell us about that.
Well, you have the 10 lepers. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and they come to him and ask him to have mercy on them. And he sees them and immediately says to them, go show yourself to the priests. And as they were going to see the priest, believing that his word was going to do it, they were cleansed. And one of them, one of the 10, you know, is the only one that comes back to thank Jesus, to fall on his face at Jesus' feet and thank him. And he is not a Jew. He's a Samaritan, one who would be least expected to recognize God's mercy and to thank him. The others, you'd think they'd get it. But they ran off excited, cleansed themselves, but not thanking God. So you have this kind of contrast here, another incident of a foreigner being cleansed by a gracious God.
Well, is there a theme emerging here? Because the other place that I was thinking about, again in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus actually references this account of Naaman and Elisha, where he says there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian was cleansed.
Yeah, that is an interesting quote that Jesus makes there, and takes people back to that to point out, I think, you know, where faith is and what God wants is faith and trust in him, in his mercy, and in his grace. And we know at the time of the kings there was a lot of doubting of God, a lot of running after other gods, and by God's own people, the children of Israel, who were looking every which way but to the true God for their help, their strength, their mercy. And here you have an unbeliever who gets it and who comes to him with some coaxing, Naaman needed, but then understood and received the healing, and the same here with this Samaritan leper. And isn't it a beautiful statement to us that this God, our God, especially for us who are not children of Israel by our birth, by our lineage, that he is a God for all people, that Christ is the Savior of all mankind, not just a people, but for all people. And, you know, the other striking thing in this story is this little servant girl who, you know, every day, well, it seems like every day, we can find on TV stories of kids who've been kidnapped or taken, and we think about what a horrible, traumatic thing it is, and indeed it is. But here you have a gal who was kidnapped and taken away to another land, another culture, and forced into servanthood, who, by the grace of God, retained her faith and understood who the prophet was and where to go, and looked past the ugliness of her circumstance and this man who, you know, it was quite likely that it was Naaman himself who was part of the raiding party that kidnapped her. She was able to look past that and point him to true healing, to the true God. And in a way, she was a missionary in her vocation where God had placed her, serving her neighbor who in that situation was Naaman, her master. And that's just an interesting part of this story, too. And I think one to bring out to our students who in our culture today are often made to think it's okay not to be nice to someone who's different or someone who hasn't treated you fairly. Somehow it's okay to not be good to them, much less share your faith with them. So that's another interesting dynamic here.
You mentioned something a minute ago that kind of got me thinking, and that is that the messenger that is sent out from the prophet to Naaman to say, just go do this and you'll be healed. You made the connection with today and the pastors that Christ has given his church. And the term that's used for Elisha in the Old Testament story here is man of God. Should we regard our pastors as men of God?
Oh, absolutely. I think of my pastor as a man of God. I think of you as a man of God. You're God's men who've been called, who've been prepared, and who've been given by the church, and the church receiving the power to give this authority to you pastors. This position as pastor, who is guard of our souls, who is to preach God's law and his gospel to us, to lead us to the font, to the altar, to our knees, confessing our sins, and who absolve us of those sins on behalf of God. Absolutely, our pastors are men of God, and we want them to be men of God, I think. And yet, they are cloaked in human flesh and all that comes with that. So, you know, if we think man of God and we think perfect and put you guys up on a pedestal, that's our folly and not our pastors.
By way of summarizing all of this, Pam, what was Naaman's basic problem when he asks, you know, there are lots of rivers in Syria I could wash in, and Jordan isn't much, you know, is this all the prophet's going to do for me? What's his basic problem?
His basic problem is, how can water do such great things? It's our basic problem. It's what Luther talks about in his small catechism when he explains the sacrament of holy baptism. How can it be that water does this? And he's looking to the thing and not to God. He's looking for the power in the wrong place and looking for something that isn't there in the water. It's only powerful, only healing and cleansing from sin and sickness because of God's word. And that's where we got to go. Often not too shiny and sparkly on the surface, but that's where all the power is.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum. It's called Growing in Christ. You can find out all about growing in Christ. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on demand and look for Growing in Christ, or you can get some free samples of Growing in Christ. Just call Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pam, what's up next?
Next week, we have that wonderful story. The whole book of Jonah is our lesson. We probably won't read it all, but it's one that kids love to study, and there's a lot in there for us to think about in our faith and the salvation we have from the same God who saved Jonah.
Looking forward to it, Pam. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Blessings, Pastor.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., in a mere 2 weeks, the residents of the state of Maine are going to have an opportunity to repeal a law, currently suspended, but a law that makes same-sex marriage, full-blown same-sex marriage, legal in the state of Maine. They're going to have an opportunity. Well, it looks really close. And it doesn't even look close at all when it comes to how much money is being raised to try and defend that law, as opposed to how much is being raised to try and repeal that law allowing same-sex marriage in Maine. We'll talk with Bob Emmerich in the beginning of our second hour. He spearheaded an effort to bring this issue to the ballot in Maine in 2 weeks. It's a close, close vote. We'll talk with him on the other side of the break, and then we'll spend the better part of the second hour of Issues, Etc. with Pastor Stephen Parks, pastor of University Hills Lutheran in Denver. Part two of our five-part series, daily five-part series on the 16th century and its on the 16th century Reformation and its theology. We did yesterday Scripture alone. Today we're going to take the next step, faith alone. This is the one that probably is most associated with the Reformation and its theology. faith alone? Is it a clear teaching of the Bible? Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us with questions or comments as we continue Reformation Week in the second hour of the program at issuesetc, at issuesetc. It's a natural question, isn't it? I mean, Naaman standing there on the front porch of Elisha's house. Prophet won't even come out and see him, sends out a servant, says, go wash in the river. It's like natural. How can water do this? Well, he was looking at the water. He should have been listening to God's word. And when he did, he was healed. We'll be right back with hour two.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.